Welcome to Productivity Mastery. Stoy here, a productivity and performance coach on a mission to help businesses and people get the most out of their time. On this podcast, I'll bring you exceptional performers and together unlock what it takes to perform at your highest level. Thanks for tuning in and enjoy this episode. I'm here with somebody I'm super happy and honored to call my friend, somebody very, very inspiring, even though he's very humble to see. But Kai is the general manager of Grand Hotel Kempinski. And in fact, he's the youngest appointed general manager in the history of Kempinski Hotels. But this is just a little bit of what defines him as a leader. I find him as somebody that's really leading by example, by walking the talk, not just talking and sharing how things should be, but really, really living it. I visited him a couple of times in his natural habitat in Grand Hotel Kempinski in Vilnius, and I was really, really fascinated by the way his team is performing, the amount of positive energy there his team is always spreading around. So, Kai, why don't you share a little bit about yourself? Like, how did you end up in Vilnius? Where are you from? And just a little bit about your backstory.
Sure. I mean, I don't want to bore everyone with my whole CV. I guess you can see that on LinkedIn. But in a nutshell, I mean, yeah, I started pretty much always been with Kempinski since I graduated. Back in 2009, I studied in actually hotel management in Dubai, 3 years and 1 year in Switzerland, and from there graduated and joined the corporate office in Kempinski, which was a fabulous platform for me to kind of get a helicopter view of, you know, how the company is running, top-down perspective, working hand-in-hand with the COO at the time, and really get a very good insight of, you know, the inner workings of a corporation of that size as we are. Was there 2 years. From there, was thrown into the cold water. Being comfortable in Geneva, I was kindly asked to move to Beijing, which at the time I was like, okay, not so sure. But actually, once I went there, I absolutely loved it. It's a fabulous place. Those of you who haven't been to China, I know a lot of people have different perceptions about China. But if you've been there, you know, I mean, you can really see where the future is happening. I mean, that was already a few years back. And back then, they were so much ahead of the curve. You know, in many ways, it's really, really, it's going to be the future of the world. You like it or not, it's going to be the way. So it was an amazing experience being there for 2 years in the regional office. I was looking after all our Chinese properties, including Mongolia. So I was also in Ulaanbaatar a few times. So that's an interesting property. And North Korea, as we had a potential project there. So I was 1 week in Pyongyang. So that was a nice experience as well. Obviously, the project never went through, but it was a good experience. At the same time, helped build up another company that is running now, a brand that's part of Kempinski called Nuo. So it's a kind of Chinese-inspired luxury hospitality hotel powered by Kempinski engine, I would say. So that's it's a partnership, and I was helping to develop the brand there. And yeah, after those 2 years, I took my first real operational role, which is kind of unconventional, I would say. Usually you kind of work your way up from the hotel to eventually end in the corporate office. I worked my way down, so to say, from the corporate to the regional office to the hotel. But I'm really grateful for such amazing opportunity. You know, I was quite young at the age, I think 26, when they offered me the opportunity to be a hotel manager in Ajman, which is located in the UAE, half an hour outside of Dubai, beautiful resort, Kempinski property. And that was a very tough experience to, you know, first time you have to lead. I mean, it was like we had 300 people there, and the general manager was also the regional president. So he was most of the time traveling. I was de facto running the whole hotel. So that was a steep learning curve. Luckily, it worked out for the best. And after a while, you know, the GM was no longer there, let's say. I was elevated to take over the property, manage it for another year and a half, and then was moved initially had to go to Saudi Arabia. So I almost would have been calling you now from Saudi Arabia, but there was some last minute changes and I have been relocated to Vilnius, and I'm very happy I did so. And now I've been here since, just over, actually 3.5 years in beautiful Vilnius. That's the story, this is quite a
fairy tale story, man. I'm actually excited to hear the first time you were promoted as a hotel manager. Was it difficult for you to understand, leading people with a different culture? I mean, you're German, right? So of course you've been traveling around and seeing things and being part of this team, but how did you navigate with this, change?
Definitely. I mean, I think you have two options. Or you can come in and say, listen, here I am, I'm the boss, you do what I tell you to do, right? I mean, that's one way of managing. I don't think it's the best way. And, being very young and inexperienced, it's hard for me to tell somebody when I don't know how the job is done, right? So I think probably that wouldn't have been the smartest decision. And my idea was to get the buy-in of all the people and the managers, to get them behind you and to really be aligned and then move forward. So I would call it, inquisitive leadership in a way, almost. You ask them, you obviously have a direction where you want to go. You set the sail towards the reception, and that's going to be your KPIs, your goals that you set. I mean, these are pretty clear that are trickled down from the corporate office. You know what you have to achieve. It's not that you just come up with your own ideas, but you have clear goals that you need to achieve. And then you work really hand on hand with those guys, because at the end of the day, I consider myself the music conductor, and the orchestra. I don't know how to play the piano or the violin or what have you, but I know which song, which evening, for which audience, right? So, and I make sure I have the best pianist, the best, what have you, a violinist there is, to make sure we play the perfect tune. So that's the kind of goal. So, I'm not going to educate them on how to play better. I'm going to guide them. I'm going to give them all the tools he needs to become the best player he needs to be. And this kind of was the way forward. And the main point, it's a team effort, right? Like when you said, I'm really grateful that you had such a good time here and a good experience. But at the end of the day, that's not me who delivered it. It's our amazing hoteliers who delivered it. And, I can have the best mission statement and vision, but if at the end of the day, the waitress had a bad day or doesn't like it and serves you an espresso that day that is cold and you complain and she is rude back to you, all my mission and vision goes out the door, because you say, Kempinski, what is this, right? So it is really important that it completely transpires down to the last employee, to everyone in the field. And you can only do that if you genuinely buy into the mission and live by example. If I say you have to be nice and kind and grateful for the people, but then I'm myself rude to the employees, it doesn't work. We live in very transparent times. You can't fake it. So if I'm not really genuine, nice, and sincere to my guys, they're not going to be the same with the guests. So I think that was very important, that that you leave your ego out the door. You say, guys, we are all the same. Okay, we have business cards, fair enough. But right now we are all part of the team. We're hoteliers trying to please the guests. And that's the whole mission. It's not, I'm the boss and you do as I tell you, because that's how you lose people. You have to be one team and really small hierarchy and really make sure that the mission is aligned and we all buy into this.
I love what you said with, once I was in the hotel and you shared with me this, if I'm not showing up and leading by example, like sometimes when everybody's overwhelmed and we have too many guests or whatever, and if I'm not the one that goes and actually helps them to wash dishes and whatever is needed, right? Yeah. Because at the end of the day, it's not about your role, and it's not just about hospitality industry, it's about anywhere else. Your role is not to make coffee. You have a different purpose behind it. Your purpose is maybe to make customers happy. And that's coffee is the way you do it, but it, that's not your,
100%. Exactly. We're selling really the experience, right? I mean, you can go to Starbucks and get a coffee, an overpriced, non-tasting one, but you can get a coffee. You come to Kempinski, okay, it won't be the cheapest coffee, but it's going to be amazing quality in a beautiful environment served by, people who enjoy their job and deliver that beautiful experience to you, know? And I think that's what makes the difference, because the same with the hotel. I mean, a room is a room, right? I mean, what's the difference between staying in an Airbnb or a Kempinski? You know, they have beautiful rooms. You can stay in amazing penthouse suites in Airbnb, really. In terms of product, it's, you know, really nothing you can complain about. But what's missing, the service element, you know, this hospitality. And that's, you know, that's what we deliver, the craftsmanship and taking really passion for what we do. And I think that's what people realize and where they pay the premium for. And especially in times like we are now, safety measures, hygiene, such an important point. You know, you want to come to a reputable brand where you know you're going to be looked after, you know they're going to adhere to the standards, they know what they're doing. And we take this super, super serious. You know, we have, like, I mean, if you see the policies we have on hygiene and so on, I mean, it's crazy, but it's important. And, you know, our guests expect that, and we will go above and beyond to make sure they're well looked after here.
Yeah, yeah. And it's, I can see it, you know, I can see how the, you know, being, preparing the team for such situations like the one that is coming right now. And actually, before we get into the whole, you know, topic of taking ownership of in times of chaos, I'm excited to hear from you. You know, you joined the team in Vilnius a few years ago. What did you have to do to ensure this leadership style? And I mean leadership style not just in the way you lead, but the way everybody from the managers to the housekeeper to the waiter are having this self-leadership themselves.
Sure, sure. Again, I think, you know, like we say, fish smells from the head. So I think it really starts with yourself. You can't blame others if you don't really, you know, live the same values that you preach. So I think that's super important. So again, it starts by really listening to your people. And I mean listening, right? I mean, it's one thing to, okay, you have any questions? No, okay, next. But really genuinely caring for their feedback, what they have to say. And take those ideas and show them examples when you actually implement it. It may not be that every idea is relevant and you can do everything, right? But, you know, to genuinely care and show that you're there for them in good times and bad times, you know, because often they feel uncomfortable to come because they're also, let's say, managers. They want to, especially in the beginning, they want to show that they are capable of everything and they don't want to bother you. And you would say, oh, fine, nobody bothers them. Everything seems to be good. But if you drill deeper, actually, there are issues. You know, and it's a balancing act. Obviously, you also, you know, it's a balancing act because, you know, if they come for every little thing to you, then you do, the question is, why do you have managers, right? And you can do it without them. But so it's a balancing act, but you want to have an open, transparent thing. And the same way, I try to be super, super transparent. I mean, you know, we have now chat groups that are like with open communication channels amongst, I think we have 20, 30 of our, you know, I would say, you know, middle tier and up of the people there that see all the communication that's going on in sales and in different parts, because, you know, knowing what what's happening in different departments helps them to understand, okay, that's why they are, you know, when we ask for help, then they're saying they're really busy. I actually know why they're busy, because they're working on this project. Or, you know, it gives you A, accountability that they see the others are actually working, and B, increased transparency. And I think that's what it's all about, to really show what's happening and what people are up to. So I think that's super important. Then being close to your, we call line employees, who are really at the front, you know, the waiters, the stewarding, the housemates, and sit with them, have a coffee with them, you know, not just to let the managers run this, but be really close to them, you know, have a chat. We meet, we have lunch meetings with them, breakfast meetings, where I myself speak to them and say, what's happening? What are your challenges? How can we help you? What are some ideas? Because they know much better what are the problems, the pain points of the guest, for example, where we can say, okay, never heard about this, never thought about this. What can we do? You know, and then involve them. Let's have a working project where one of those guys are involved and implement the idea. Because it's nice to have ideas. We all have ideas. But again, we all know that the idea is only as good as the execution. So then really put them behind that and hold them accountable to it. And then we do, for example, monthly updates. We call town hall meetings, where we meet with all employees and then put them out there on stage and let them present. And, you know, they really feel proud and take ownership, you know. So I think these things go a long way. And then it's the same as you said, you know, like storytelling. You know, it's nice that we do amazing customer service. But if we don't tell these stories, then it's like, okay, whatever, you know. So we have something we call my moment, Kempinski my moment. So if something really, somebody went above and beyond and did something really outstanding, we really encourage our employees to record these things. We have a post office, where like a mailbox where the people put in. And at the end of the month, we share these stories on social media, again, in these town hall meetings. We bring them on stage, we tell the stories, and people get inspired by this, you know? So it's like, it really shows even the stewards can do a my moment. So it's like, but you have to live it, you know? If we just say, oh, that's a nice story, thank you very much, you know, then it's kind of like, okay, why bother, right? So you want to really recognize it, and yeah, I think it's a beautiful touch, and people like to be inspired and inspire others also.
It's really interesting, you know, when people talk about culture, they're like, oh, let's bring a culture consultant, do a workshop, and then we're done. You know, culture is
exactly
like,
yeah.
But the reality is, what people don't want to hear is, it's, you just have to do it every day. It's yeah. It's not that you're going to come up with this. You can find a lot of great practices. And actually, I'm going to be very curious to hear some more of these practices as the ones you mentioned. But the truth is, consistency, what makes the difference, man?
Of course. And also at the same time, how to say, you know, let your guard down a bit. You know, you also, if I'm very uptight, I don't share nothing about myself, yeah, or being vulnerable. You know, often I don't know the answer. And I stand in front of them and I say, listen, guys, I don't know. What do you think? Let's talk, you know. But if I always dictate everything, I never share anything about my private life and so on, so how I expect my managers to open up to me and share something back? So I think that's also very important. Laugh together, have fun, you know. I mean, obviously we all have the Zoom call fatigues, you know, and quite often we just dance in front of the cameras, you know, and it feels so awkward, but after a while you bond, right? It's about bonding, like football teams, what they play every day together, they have fun, they laugh, they cry, and you bond. The same you want to have in a team. So if you don't go through emotions, it's hard to bond, because otherwise it's like a factory worker comes to work, does the job, and goes home. It's hard to create really a tight bond of those. And if you don't have that, I think it's hard to work as a team. Why some good football teams are extremely well. Yeah, they have good players, but they have this dynamic amongst them. So this is something we try to also instill in our team, definitely.
Right. And when we're talking about creating a team, and I remember you mentioned when I was in Vilnius, this... was it like a TED talk that you guys are watching, or like some of those strategies? Can you share with us some of these specific things that you guys do to build the team spirit?
Obviously, now it's a little bit, obviously we haven't been operating for 3 months, so it's a little bit hard to say, because, you know, for 3 months we've been all, yeah, pretty much everybody was doing home office, so it was different routine. But again, even in that time, I think it was very important. We had 2-3 calls a week, even there was nothing happening, you know, many of the weeks we were just at home and waiting for things. But still important, even if you have nothing to say, you just check in with each other. How are you? How are things going? And it can be, you know, I read in this article, this, did you see that? Oh, wow, I didn't know. It's just kind of, you know, A, you want to check in, and you do that to update each other and stay aligned on the same wavelength. I think that's super important. So I'm really happy, because, yeah, I heard from some other teams who didn't have that, and you have people leaving and so on. Of course, there are hard decisions to be made, you know, and I'm not saying we've been exempt for that. As you said, you know, I also tell the industry has been hit the hardest, and, you know, we also had to tough choices and decisions to make. So even more important that you openly communicate this. You know, we had, for example, Facebook Lives with all, like, the town hall meetings, what I said before, what we had with in real person with all employees. You know, you can't do it due to social distancing. So we did Facebook Live with all our employees, where myself and the HR manager, you know, like we do now in the camera, spoke to all our employees and kind of give updates. And then they could ask Q&A, and we would answer them live on the call. And again, being vulnerable, you know, a lot of the questions they asked me, when are we opening? And many times I said, I don't know. Really, I don't know. I'm generally an optimist, and I always believe in the best outcome. But right now, I think it's very important also not to be a dreamer and say, ah, it will be perfectly. We open 1st of July and everything will be back to normal. No, it will not be back to normal. It's going to be, big, big changes that's going to be impacting our industry big time for many months, even years to come. So I think, yeah, again, being transparent, vulnerable, and putting it out there, kind of, you know, and people really appreciate it. Thanks for that, you know, and we want to do more of this. And you know, I don't have the magic formula I can give you now. I don't think I do something super, super different or something wow. You know, for myself, of course, I have my own habits and so on, but I just try to be really transparent with my guys, communicate, be transparent, honest. If you have to make layoffs, don't wait until the last moment. Be open and transparent, you know, help them to transition to a new job. You know, we all have a network. Reach out, write reference letters, you know, be kind, be, because, you know, I always say I may be the next, who knows, right? The industry is affected. I mean, I may get a call tomorrow and might be fired. And that's the case. You know, life has to go on. So, of course, we all love what we do. I'm happy. I have full commitment of my guys. They're really, really extremely energized and passionate to restart again the hotel. And but yeah, I don't think we have a magic formula, but really keeping the team spirit, I think that's the core that it is, because it's not rocket science what we do. We spoke about before Elon Musk and these guys and some. I think that's a whole different ballgame. I think our business is not rocket science. It's all about people being, you know, being hospitable and wanting to serve and please others. That's what it comes down to. And not just the guests, but also each other. You know, I want to get out of this, what maybe happens, you know, when managers are many years in their job and so on, they have this, you know, I call departmental thinking, you know, this is my area, my department, this is what I do. If you want help here, sorry, then ask somebody else. And now, and we do the same with our line employees. You know, if you are a receptionist, you know, you're not just a receptionist, you're a hotelier, you work in the hotel. So if I need you to help out in the banqueting, you help in the banqueting. If there's a lot of glasses piling up and they need to be polished, you help out to polish. So it's really in the same way. I mean, I will help and polish the glasses. I will set up the room, because, you know, you can't anymore think that only my division. We all have to help out. And I think, again, it builds the culture. It shows, wow, if, you know, even my boss is doing this, wow, then I really want to do extra effort to make him proud, right? Or her proud. So I think that's what it comes down to.
I'm actually interested to hear also about you talk about all this thing with, you know, with the team and how important it is to build the team spirit and the culture, yeah, and to lead by, yeah, example. But I'm really interested to know more about the mindset. Like, I can imagine what it is for somebody like you, like your general manager. A lot of people depend on you know, you are the one that's leading them, right? And as COVID happens, this is one of the first industry that's obviously going to take a big hit. So yeah, what is the inner process? What is the mindset of, all right, this thing hits us?
Yeah.
You know, how do you calm yourself down and focus on the opportunities, if you know what I mean?
Sure. Again, as you said, it comes down to the mindset. We all have our inner thoughts and struggles. I mean, you know, definitely this is, none of us can avoid it. I would say, probably when it really hit, when the whole case, I was actually just coming back from Barcelona, so I was still not taking it so seriously. We went to Barcelona, and then it really just hit like this. And we were on the last flight back to Vilnius, so I was quite lucky to come back. I had to be in quarantine for 2 weeks. So while we were closing the hotel, I wasn't even able to be in the hotel. So it was really a kind of difficult situation there. But nevertheless, the team managed extremely well. We were in constant contact and so on. But then, yeah, I would say for 1 week, it was really a very tough period, because you were really going through all the options. Will we ever reopen? Do we have to let everybody go? Do I still go to work tomorrow? You know, so many questions, because yeah, our industry was badly, badly, badly hit, and it still is. But then again, you know, I would say that's probably my German rational approach to things. You know, you have two options: or you can moan about it and live in uncertainty and really be depressed every day and read all the news and get even more upset. Yeah, that's one option. But you know, as I said, I call myself an optimist. I don't know from where that comes, from my parents or so on. But you know, I always like to focus on the positive and you know, what can we control? What's in my control, right? What I can control. I cannot control the vaccine, the end of the virus, or any of these. But what I can control is my own thoughts and what I, you know, obviously deliver to the team. So that's super important. So, you know, I started probably reading less of those news every day to see the virus numbers going up, because I realized that's only going to you know, make me feel even more insecure about the future. So I probably reduced my news consumption. I started reading more books about, you know, crisis management in general. We had challenges before, you know. I mean, our grandparents were in war times. We had Chernobyl. We had so many disasters. I mean, you know, in a way, you know, it sometimes helps you put things into perspective. It's terrible, terrible. And people lost their lives and their jobs. But, you know, these things happened before and probably will happen again. You know, it's terrible times, but that will happen again, let's be honest. So, you know, it puts things into perspective. And then you really focus, okay, what can I actively control? How can I, you know, I would say survival of the hotel. What can I do for the hotel to survive? Okay, then you start about looking, how can I control revenues? Okay, well, revenues disappear, so you can't really do much about it for the time being. So then how can I control expenses? So you really go line by line. What can we cut? Where do we have to make hard decisions? Yes, and it was really tough. But in the long term, I think it will benefit the greater good. You know, if you, in a way, as bad as it sounds, but, you know, you have to let go of a few people to save the majority, or keep the majority for a few months and then you have to surrender and let everybody go. I think, you know, you kind of weigh your option. You say, okay, well, I better make some hard choices now to ensure the success for everybody in the long term. So these two factors, then the morale, what can I do about the morale? So that comes to communication, that comes to helping some people they had to let go, transition to other jobs, and then tell about that. You know, say, listen, I mean, that person left us, but we found them a job there. And if you want to leave and there is an opportunity, let's do it. And you're the first one to come back. And again, it's being about being open. Like, why should I be now upset if somebody found a job in another hotel? I'm happy for them, you know, genuinely happy for them. And they will remember that. And one day they may want to come back. They tell their friends about it. But if I'm being, you know, you have to leave now and I don't care, it's going to come back to us one way or the other. It's a small play. So I think being fair, open, and you know, I think, again, it goes a long way. So, yeah, otherwise, keeping fit, probably exercise more than I have in previous times, which is nice. You kind of build you have a new routine, of course. I started meditating. Maybe that helped me also. So I'm doing every day 10 minutes of meditation with the Calm app. I don't know if you tried that one. That's really cool. Love that. So that's really nice. I started learning again working on my Spanish. So 15 minutes of Spanish on Duolingo every day. I don't know if I'm making good progress, but I do enjoy it. And a lot of coffee.
A lot of coffee, man. I can agree on that. I mean, for me, I told you before the call, the last couple of months have been the biggest blessing for me. And you know, I know a lot of people are struggling and stuff. I'm talking about my personal experience. You know, the time I had to slow down and to really focus on the things that matter most to me, and then to emphasize on execution on the things that I've been kind of putting aside a little bit. Now, you know, we're finishing with the book finally after 2 years of a journey. I mean, when I say we started, thank you. When I say we started with the book 2 years ago, it doesn't mean I'm full time 40 hours, you know, like working on the book.
Of course, of course.
I've been traveling like crazy, and if I've been traveling like crazy, my co-author Cristobal, I think he did 170 flights last year alone.
Yeah.
So now we have more time to focus on the things that are within our control. Yeah. Obviously, exactly. As a speaker and consultant, just like you, my industry has been hit massively. The industry of organizing conferences and retreats, which you were probably going to be coming at one of our future retreats, you know, it's canceled, right? That's it. We need to adapt. Exactly. And I love what you said about the, hey, let's calm down. Let's focus on, be aware of your emotions.
Sure.
Don't try to ignore it. Hey, it's okay. It's okay. No. Be aware. Sure. Look, you're a human being. There's so much uncertainty, especially at the beginning. That's fine. I'm stressed. I'm afraid. Definitely, I don't know what's going to happen. But then from there, how can I switch this? How can I turn into a problem-solving mode? Taking the tough decisions I have to make. Let's make a list.
Exactly. And to be honest, I also, in a way, freed myself from the fear. As I said before, I prepared myself of being fired then and there. You know, so if I'm being fired tomorrow, you know, if it really now happens, it happens, right? I mean, I wouldn't be happy about it. I mean, I love what I'm doing. I love my job and I'll stay here. But, you know, I think once you let go of that, because life will go on, you know, I mean, the industry is hit, but it will come back one day also. And there are so many options out there. There's so many opportunities out there. So it's not the end of the world. Sometimes people think like the job is the only thing in life. And maybe that period is probably a good period where people reflect on their life. There's more important things like your family, your health, like spirituality, if you're in these things. So there's a lot of other things in your life than just your job. You know, so I think it's super important and we all have to be committed to it. But I think if you let go of this, you liberate yourself in a way, and it kind of frees up my thinking. And now at the same time, as we have more time on hand, I really try to learn new things, because as I said, the industry will change. You said also travel is going to be less, you know, a lot of the big companies, they said already travel will be canceled for this year, probably parts of into next year. So there will definitely be less business for us. So how do we still stay relevant? What can we do differently? How are we working maybe with, you know, like office sharing, that people rent the hotel or the hotel room for meetings, for daily office, you know, like co-working in a way. You know, I'm now myself kind of trying to learn more about online marketing, right? Like, because hotels generally are not really, you know, we put a few posts together, but how do you actually sell it properly as a, you know, direct conversion campaign, for example, right? By direct conversion. But I think it's so relevant. You know, you can even have affiliate links for hotels, right? I mean, if I give you affiliate links and every friend that you refer to us gets a cut of that, I mean, amazing, right? And hotels have never really done this in the past. But you would be happy if you get money, and your friend would be happy if they get a better deal. And booking.com would be losing out, right? So I think there's a lot of new ways of looking at things and of getting new revenue potential. So I find that very fun, because I think generally we are maybe, as an industry, I'm talking, maybe not the most innovative. So I think there's a lot we can do. And I see already a lot of brands, including Kempinski, coming up with a lot of new ideas of how things can be done differently, much more digital, right? I mean, in the future, you're not going to have the key cards anymore. Everything will be done through your mobile phone. So I think it's a fun time to be in, to kind of redefine what luxury hospitality will be like.
And you are a very active reader, which I really respect and appreciate, because myself, I love to read, especially books in the field of business, name it, you know, personal development and those kind of things. In fact, this year I set up a goal for myself to read 52 books by the end of the year, so one book on average per week. Right now I'm at book 19, so I'm a little bit behind.
Congrats.
When COVID happened, there was like 3-4 weeks of me no reading, just trying to solve things. But I'm curious, you mentioned you read a lot of books lately about navigating through chaos and, you know, crisis management. Is there some idea that really, you know, stuck with you from reading these type of books?
I mean, yeah, obviously different times in terms of how you communication. I think that's, again, was some good insight, that, you know, over communicate, you know, really be with the guys and so on. So that really was reinforcing something I would be naturally doing, but it kind of, once again, sending the message. And even if you don't know, if you don't have the answer, go out there and be with your guys, you know, I think leading from the front. A second one, and again, you know, nothing really fundamentally that you never heard of, but I was reading, for example, the book, which is more on the stock side, A Random Walk Down Wall Street, really, I think, mandatory reading for any investor, which also kind of helps you navigate through crisis. You know, the stock market is also cyclical, right? Like any business, it has its ups and downs. And how do you stay calm as an investor or hotel owner or, you know, manager, what have you, in times of uncertainty? And again, sometimes it's a matter of, you know, just sitting it out, you know, not to be over responsive to, because, you know, one day we will look back at this crisis and, you know, depending on which publication you read, it may be an impact of 1 year, maximum 2 years, but it's still, you know, in a way, a small part of a whole lifetime, right? Sometimes people over focus so much, but, you know, the whole life, but it's still a short part of your entire life. So you have so much time you had before, you will have so much time in the past, learn from it, future proof yourself, you know, to be caught up. As I said, you know, I need to improve my skills. So as I said, if I'm fired tomorrow, so what do I have to offer for my future employer, or if I do my own company, so I'm relevant, right? If I do the same things that I did 10 years ago when I started my career, it's not any more relevant in 5 years. When you talk about artificial intelligence, you're working with big data, interpreting data and so on. So that's much more relevant than as a general manager knowing how a steak should be properly cooked, right? So the skill set shifted completely. Back in the days, GMs were all chefs and from the operations. Nowadays, you have controllers, you have salespeople, marketing people. It's a different trade that is required. So I need to make sure that I'm future-proofing myself the same way how we update our iOS. We have to update our own OS in a way. So that's, I think, and that you do by speaking to other people, talks like we do, masterminds, podcasts, books. I mean, I think there's endless amount of content, mostly free out there that you can, because I have people say, oh, but I don't have money. Sorry to say, if you have internet access on the phone, you don't need money, you know, it's all out there. So really, I think that's absolutely key, rather than, you know, reading news and hiding yourself behind Netflix, because then you're subject to, you're just subject to what will be coming out. You're very passive. You're letting your life in other people's hands. But if you take an active approach, I think you have very good chance. And I see it in my own team, you know, a lot of the people, they have a second job because they're driving off for Uber or delivering food or what have you. So they really, and they do extremely well. Whilst others, I heard from you know, other places, they're just sitting and hoping to open. So that's fine if you have the luxury to be able to sit at home. But if you sit at home and don't have money and just do nothing, I think then, you know, begs the question again, take an active approach, definitely.
It reminds me this mindset, this approach to my good friend Scott Morrison, who is a co-author of the book Creative Superpowers. Super inspiring guy. We had a conversation and discussion, and he, in one of our mastermind sessions, and what he brought to the conversation was this idea or a quote that came from Wayne Gretzky, which was something about, you know, I'm not, I'm ahead of everybody else because I'm not, skating
where the puck is going to.
There you go. And this is really what this whole thing is about. Hey, let me try to. There's a lot of stuff out there. You can actually get and see some trends. Which industries are going to be hot? Which companies are going to probably have a potential to grow? So what kind of skills? Like, if I'm looking into where the puck is going to go, right?
Correct.
In 6 months, in 12 months, okay, maybe now it's very difficult. And I'm going to give another quote, which I also posted because it was very fascinating. And it was the fortunes are built in the down market and collected in the up market.
Yes. Yeah, correct. Absolutely. That's true. Yeah. Definitely.
Yeah. And I think that's about it. Like you said it really well. Okay, some people will go, okay, let me survive the crisis, right? I need drive for Uber, whatever. But at the same time, I need to be building for the future.
Sure.
So.
And we had in the last crisis, you know, 2008, 2009, when so many companies tanked and layoffs and what have you. And yet again, companies like Uber, Airbnb, they were formed and nobody took them serious back then. I remember still, even as hoteliers, we were laughing about Airbnb, like, what is this, like Airbnb? And now, like, I mean, they're the biggest threat in a way, right? So I think really it gives, I think there will be a lot of consolidation, smaller players, or not necessarily smaller, but inefficient players or people who kind of, I think, mediocre companies, performers, individuals will really be having a tough time. And I think really skill set and really performance will prevail. There's no question. So there will be a lot of bankruptcies. I think more to come. I think we haven't really seen the whole extent to it. For now, there's billions and billions. I mean, it's hard to even follow the numbers that are being plowed into the system, which is nice. I mean, I think it gives a lot of support for people and companies. But I think in the long term, we will see definitely the second wave. I think hopefully it's not a viral second wave, but rather I think it's going to be a financial hit definitely, and there will be an impact. But again, some players will go bust and others will emerge stronger from it. And I hope to be on the winning side with the company, with my team, and yeah, come out on top of it.
Yeah, and as you said before, it's, you know, there's certain things you can control. If you you know, wake up every morning really focused, really on, you know, the things, the key priorities, the core objectives, trying to do your best, inspiring those around you to do their best.
Sure.
At the end of the day, you're not guaranteed that you're going to succeed, not at all. But as long as you do your best every day, you try to get better, you read books, you listen to some people who are empowering and positive and so on, then, I mean, what can you do more than that, right? Kai, I wanna turn it, this conversation, and kind of wrap it up with a little bit about your personal habits. You know, when we talk about productivity and performance, again, many people think it's this is the one secret that's going to change your life. Well, I'm actually more curious about the day-to-day habits that Kai Shukovsky is doing to stay at the top of his game.
Okay. Well, actually, I found this a very nice app, and you know, during Corona time, you have a lot of time to research and so on. So I found a nice app. It's called Streak. I don't know if you can see that here. It's actually at the top of my screen. Streak here. A very nice app. Really recommend it. It's kind of a habit tracker. So basically, you open it and you have all your different habits here. You know. So basically, I have got different things that I need to do. So I can share the habit with you. So I start, as I said, in the morning with 10 minutes of meditation. Okay, so this is kind of my first thing in the morning before breakfast. I would wake up and do 10 minutes of meditation. Sometimes better, sometimes worse. But I think it's like, they say it's like a gym workout, right? So the more you do it, the better you get. Often it's amazing how distracted you get. And I think it's just to be able to control your mind. And I think that's also when we spoke about, you know, how do you stay calm in difficult times, if you're able to control your thoughts on the path you want to go, rather than all the things that could happen and what they think and what should, then you get fatigued and you burn out. I think that's the reason for burning out. But if you manage to really laser focus on what you need to achieve, you'll be happier in the process. And for me, so far, I've done it now, I think I'm on the 60-day streak, which I'm very happy every day. So yeah, I can feel already progress. So that's really nice. What else? Then second one, I want to overcome my Corona buddy. So now I'm really serious on the gym game, and I have record my weight. So I bought a new Wi-Fi smart scale. So every morning I step on it, and actually it sends directly to my phone. And then every week I even get a analytical progress report of my weight. So that really helps me accountable to hopefully have a downward trend. So I really love that. And so far, good progress. So that's pretty cool. Then I would call it my shower routine. So every morning I have I start with a warm shower, but I end on with the 1 minute of ice cold. So you put on the coldest, it really wakes you up. You don't need the coffee for another 1-2 hours, because it's really you cannot be grumpy after an ice cold shower. You just have to be positive. It just gives you a good mood. It's hard before mentally, but once you've done it, it's for me really, it's like a habit now. I won't finish a shower without a full blast or full cold. And while being in the shower, I think of 3 things that I'm grateful for the day. So this is also, I still put it here as a habit tracker, but to be honest, it's just second nature now. So it's just, in the beginning, I kind of had to force myself, but once you get into the routine, you really take pleasure out of it, you know, and you have to think of 3 different things. And it's not easy. You really, in the beginning, you have millions of things. Yeah, you can be grateful for the sunshine, you know, and so on. But after a while, you're really running out of things that you're grateful for. So it's really, but it makes you really think hard about the small things that we have every day. You know, things like, you know, that you press a button and you have a fresh hot coffee. That this is pure bliss. You know, not many people have that, and we sometimes forget about these things, especially in the hard situation we're in. There's still so many things we can be grateful for. That living in a safe place, fresh air, you know, I mean, we can do a whole show about it. So I think that keeps you grounded and appreciative of the things you have. Because if it's only money, I should be super depressed now. Because yeah, right now it's a difficult time. So now my happiness is less because my money is less. You know, that's maybe not the best measure of happiness. So I think, yeah, that's a really, probably you all read about it. We all know we should do. but really try to make it a habit, because I think that's definitely can be useful. Then this is my girlfriend told me to do, to put the face cream every morning, because of my, I hate creams and I never put any creams. So now, maybe it shows, I don't know, I'm putting every morning face cream.
Beautiful.
So I hope it will make a difference in the long term. And then before the breakfast, we do celery juice. So this is also our little, the biohack of every morning drinking a full glass of pure celery. So we put the blender. And actually, it was maybe a little bit tough to get used to it, but now we love it. So every morning, both of us have a glass of celery juice. And that's really an immune booster. And it really, it's a good thing. Then when I come home, as I said, 15 minutes of Spanish on Duolingo. Great app, free, and really recommended. Then 10 minutes of reading. I must say, my reading, I love reading, but it's on and off. I may not read for 3 days, but then on the fourth, fifth day, I read like, half an hour, 1 hour. So it's, I'm trying to be consistent. But I make it a mission. I mean, 52 books, I will not manage. I mean, really kudos to you for doing that. I think that's quite a mission. I'm happy if I do 1 to 2 books a month. I think I'll be quite happy with this. What else? Then exercising. So I'll try to have daily exercise, or running or gym. And then I have connected to my step tracker to do at least 10,000 steps a day. So that's on top of exercise. So just to walk, just to move. I think bodies are made to move, and we end up, I mean, once you really track, especially in Corona times, your radius, I mean, you realize how little you move, and that's scary. And if you do that for extended time period, it's just not healthy, and I feel it. If I'm not moving, I don't think straight. So I think that's super important to do so. That's what I did last time. So I did my half marathon around the kitchen counter, because I said, damn, I can't. Because that was when I was in quarantine times, I couldn't get outside. I said, damn it, I'm going to just walk. And my kitchen counter is like 3 meters. So I was like, I don't know how many thousand rounds against it, but it's kind of, just a goal. It was a goal that motivated me, and I did it. So maybe I'll go for the full marathon next.
Yeah, I love it. I love all your habits. I actually got inspired to get back this, the cold shower routine.
Love it, yeah.
It's so amazing, man. I hate it and I love it at the same time.
Yeah.
I was thinking whether when you're doing the 3 gratitude things under the shower, whether it's the cold shower, but I guess it's before the cold shower.
I do it before in the warm. In the warm, and then I finish on the cold. Because, but it will help your thinking also,
Oh, indeed. It keeps you focused. Kai, it's been such a pleasure having you. The time is just flying. First of all, where could people follow you? People who are watching, who got inspired. Are you online? Where could people follow and hear more motivation and so on?
Yeah, I mean, I'm like not an online person as you. I mean, I'm on Instagram, so they if somebody wants to follow me, I'm private. So generally, I'm trying to share some quotes there and so on, a few thoughts. But otherwise, I guess LinkedIn in person in the beautiful Grand Hotel Kempinski Vilnius. So that
would be beautiful. I can't wait to visit you soon when restrictions are even better and when I finish with my book, because deadlines are coming. And for those of you who are writing or considering to write a book, it's taking more than you expect. It's gonna take you my effort, but it's also really, really worth it. Kai, finally, what would be your message to people who are watching right now? Some of these people might be struggling, being laid out of the job or just trying to figure out how to do the numbers. What would be your final message to the people watching us today?
Look, I mean, again, don't be overly pessimistic nor overly optimistic. It's a tough spot for all of us, some better, some worse, but life is cyclical. Now we may be in the downturn, but that also means that there is an upturn. So, the world is not ending. It's in a tough spot now, but it will get better. Focus on the positive, focus on what you can control, read, learn, grow. There's so many opportunities out there. Make yourself attractive as somebody to be hired, to hone your skills, put it on LinkedIn, share it with an employer, come up with some projects, build your personal brand, whatever it may be. Put yourself out there so when times do improve, we see you, we find you, and we want you. And I think there's endless opportunities. The world is your oyster, and it will be bright again very soon.
Thank you guys for listening. And if you're looking for somebody to help you step up your team performers and boost your productivity, make sure to check out stoyanyankov.com for online workshop solutions and programs designed to help you go through the current situation in a smoother manner. Stay safe and keep moving forward.